Praise the Lord. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. We have not sung that no afflictions will be there, but fear does not need to be here. Over and again, the Lord said, fear not. Over and again, you can read it in the Old and in the New Testament. Over and again, the words were spoken, fear not, in the singular, or fear not, in the plural. In one scripture, the Lord says, in the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Sometimes one could be afraid when we look on earthly things, on circumstances, but we look on the Lord, who will bring everything to pass in a wonderful way for the glory and praise of His name. We were reading in Psalms 27, David went through some kind of things in his life, but he clinged with all his heart to the Lord. And this is the great mystery with a child of God, with a man who walks with God. But then in verse 9, he says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Nothing is worse than having the impression that God is angry with you. That is a condition that cannot be endured very well. But God cannot be angry. He turned His face toward us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The wrath that should hit us has hit Him, so that we can go out freely. It continues here in verse 9, thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. How faithful is our God! Even if a mother would forget her child, God will remember His people. We are engraved into the palm of His hand. He cannot deny Himself. He even remains faithful when we get unfaithful. Even then, He still remains faithful. On Him we can rely. In verse 11 it says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me. And so forth. We thank the Lord that He promised to care for us. Today I looked up the hymn book. This hymn, I don't know from the melody, but here Jonathan Paul, who composed most of the hymns in this book, he writes here, if you serve the Lord as a faithful servant, then soon a battle will come. The devil draws you into the battle and fights with all might. But God be highly praised, it has long been tried and tested. One single word that Jesus speaks, it gives light, much light. Second stanza, when you are surrounded by darkness, when there are storms around you, does a true tribulation time make the way and walk difficult for you? Then it brings you only benefit. just lay it before the Savior. Sometimes we don't even know what brings benefit to us, what does well to us, what we have need of. We would most certainly decide differently. Third stanza, even if a friend whom you loved goes to your enemies and surrenders totally to them, so that he even betrays you, please forgive him and tell it to the Lord. Yes, also this we must learn. Close friends become suddenly enemies. This hurts. People who are very close to you, with them the pain is even greater. In the fourth stanza, did you all look it up already? I started to read from the very beginning. The fourth stanza says, even a separation comes upon you, even you are left alone, and life brings agony to you, and all the earthly luck flees from you, then let it be sufficient for you that there is one who carried your sin. One single word that Jesus speaks gives light, much light. This hymn fits very nicely right to the first verse of the psalm that we read, Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Our God works all in all. He has the first and the last word. He will judge according to his word, for heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word remains forever. To me, in the recent weeks, two things have touched my heart deeply. This Wednesday here, when we read from 1 Corinthians 3 probably, and also now last Sunday in Zurich, of the royal law, from the epistle of James, God wants to make such people out of us who walk in his ways, people who live out his word, people on whom he can rely. Brother Kupfer and myself, we prayed together, and then he said, if we only could understand that it's a holy thing at which we stand. I believe this we could all say. If we would be aware of what it is about now, that the thing at which we stand is God's business, and everything what comes from God leads to God, whether his word, whether his spirit, everything what God is holy. And if we recognized that he in these days finishes his work, then let us pay attention to really become a part of his word by seeing the fulfillment of his word in our lives. Not only that it would be words, but that they would be confirmed in our lives. Sometimes there are scriptures over which people stumble. One of them is written in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1. The letter is lying on my writing desk. There somebody asks how it is with the foolishness of God. Did you hear this once? Yes, you don't know the Bible very well. You should start reading it from scratch. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Here it says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, this beloved brother wants to know wherein the foolishness of God is and wherein the weakness of God is. One almost has to smile about it. How grateful we can be that God made us fools that we don't err. The wise err, but the fools cannot err. God has made a way. That's how it is written in Isaiah 35, where even a fool cannot err. The wise will be put to shame with their wisdom. In connection with this, there is a wonderful word in Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, here it says from verse 5 to 7, Isaiah 45, from 5 to 7. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Sometimes we think, why must this be or that be? Everything must pass around God. He has the responsibility for everything. There is most certainly somewhere a word, also in Isaiah, that he even created the destroyer. Yes, God does what he likes. Here it's written, Isaiah 54, Isaiah 54, verse 16, and this fits nicely to this psalm that we read. Isaiah 54, verse 16. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. God was only good. He could not do what would not be good. He had to create someone who has the responsibility for it when something evil happens, that he has to be taken to account for it. Because from God only good could come. God is good through and through. And you all know, we have written it in the one brochure in which the word from the prophet Isaiah and from the prophet Ezekiel is quoted when the Lord God created Lucifer in his beauty and with the whole shebang. However, with a free will, he created him through and through good, but it was the free will and the desire to come out from submission, to not be lower anymore than someone else, but to exalt himself, and then came the fall. The same is with the Antichrist, who exalts himself above everything. He doesn't like it when someone is above him, and therefore he has to exalt himself above everything what is called God or what is worshipped. And in the end, he falls down himself. There is the word, I think it's John chapter 12, where it says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Satan exalted himself, and therefore he fell. I have still a word in Amos 3. You all know it, inside out. Verse 7, you know. I will read verse 6 now. Amos chapter 3, in verse 6, is written the following. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord has not done it? God is responsible for everything. He even, when Moses was sent to deliver the children of Israel, he even hardened the heart of Pharaoh, that his wonders may be multiplied in Egypt. God can do whatever he likes, and he will do all things for the glory of his name. So, we are not offended at any word, just the contrary. We are grateful to the Lord that we can understand everything rightly by His grace. The word about the royal law from James chapter 2 verse 8 I want to read. And then we go to Exodus 19. You all know, wherever one preaches, there the people are shocked if one goes back to the Old Testament. Just recently, I experienced somewhere in the UK, the people could just not understand that the Old Testament is part of the binding Word of God. For them, it was finished, over, filed away somewhere. No, and again no. We search in the Scriptures to see whether things are so. And the whole Bible is God's Word, from Genesis to Revelation 22. James chapter 2, verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Here it doesn't speak of the law of Moses, but of the royal law. And in a moment we will go to Exodus 19, but firstly to Leviticus 19, because there this word is written that we read just now. You can read in Leviticus 19 from verse 11. I read only from verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. We know this is thus saith the Lord. It was the Lord who spoke these words. Don't walk around as a talebearer. You must not stand idle by when your neighbor's life is at stake, and so forth. We read of the royal law, in which the whole law and all the prophets are contained. For he who keeps the whole law and is just guilty of one has become guilty of all. For the one mouth has said everything from A to Z. And if somebody would fulfill 99% and would fail in one, then he has become guilty of all. But the question of guilt is solved. This we said already a couple of times. But now comes the next question, whether this is answered. If our sin is atoned, our guilt forgiven, and we have been reconciled with God, and His life has come back into us, then it must be possible to live out the Word of God. Then it must be possible to act and walk according to the Word of God. Then the life of Christ must be able to be in us. He must be able to live it out through us. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. How did the apostles, also John in this case, include these Old Testament scriptures in their statements? He writes, how can you love God whom you don't see if you don't love your brother whom you see? He who does not love his brother is a murderer. And here the recipe is already given to us in the Old Testament. It is no longer oppressive. No, the redeemed are the only ones who can live out the word. All the others take it as a heavy burden, something that oppresses, yes, almost as something backbreaking. He who is redeemed will be able to live it out joyfully, without any own effort, not in one's own strength, but in the strength of the Lord, for His life is in us. Let us go now to the royal law and to the royal priesthood. Exodus 19, from verse 3. Here it is written, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, do you see? Here two things are mentioned, God and Lord. When Moses went up unto God, the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Because I read now this verse, I almost have to smile here. You all remember the sermon of Brother Branham, with the title, The Eagles of God. And I recently read in a magazine that the people did not find out until now that this word is true, that an eagle takes his eaglets onto his wings to in this way bring them out of the nest. Until now it was controversial, and now also the scientists found out that it is right. We don't need scientists for this. What God says is always right. It is getting high time that the scientists correct themselves in all things. If this would still come, we would thank God for it. Because we have nothing against the scientists, but against science that misleads them. Every science that bypasses God and His Word, which objects God and His Word, is of Satan. About this we don't have to discuss. So, let us come back here to this word. But yet, I have to emphasize it again, that Brother Branham really said that he watched it. He said, I watched it. There where the scientists didn't get, there this man of God was at home in the desert where he could watch nature freely. Here something very special is expressed. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Not only unto a mountain, not only gathered to a prophet, but I brought you unto myself. God doesn't bring us somewhere. He brings us unto himself. He will not rest until we are there where he wants us to be. And this is in his direct presence, not only unto the holy mountain, but unto the holy God. And then we are there where God wants us to be. How I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Amen. Brought you here unto myself, not to a place, unto myself. The calling which the Lord has spoken out was always very personal. Come and follow me. The Greeks wanted to see Jesus. It's not only about to come into a city, a place, into a church, but not sooner coming to a rest until we penetrated to the Lord, hearing him speak, seeing him act. Now verse 5. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. When we read almost the same words in the New Testament, then it is part of the plan of salvation. For on Israel, God foreshadowed what he would do with the church. Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom, not only a, but unto me, ye penetrated unto me, you came to me, ye shall be unto me. I read it again. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Everything unto him. We are his, not ourselves. He who knows the scripture knows this. If we live, we are the Lord's. If we die, we die to the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Deuteronomy. Here I noted down one scripture. I don't know whether I've done it right. The older one gets, the worse it gets with a memory. Yes. Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 1 from verse 29. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. He will fight for us, not you, not I. He will fight for us. We put our trust alone in him. In verse 32 it says, yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you. Ye did not believe the Lord your God. How is it today with your and my trust in God, with my and with your faith in God and his word? How is it after all the years of being a believer, with our trust in him who taught us, who spoke with us, who revealed unto us his word in such a wonderful way? I read from James to show you why we read these scriptures. I mean Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. For the sake of the context, I have to read from verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, lest any of you turns out to be left behind. Something more terrible cannot happen to a believer than it has to be found out that he or she is left behind when the Lord comes to take his own home. Lest any of you turns out to be left behind. For those who are left behind, it will not be comfortable. This we all know. But to me, it's about the second verse as the main point. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The hearing of the word without believing it is useless. But I don't believe that God has given us two ears so that the word goes in one ear and out of the other. This I don't believe. I believe that God has given us a spiritual ear, but only there where the divine word, the divine message is mixed with faith, hearing it by faith, being received by faith, being certain, here God speaks with me. Here I didn't come to some kind of club, but I stand in the presence of God. Just as the Lord said, I brought you here unto myself. I bear you like on eagle's wings. Ye shall be unto me a holy people, a royal priesthood. Those, that's how we are told here, they heard the gospel, the message of salvation. Yeah. Just like we, but the word, I read the second part of verse 2, but the word preached did not profit them. We can hear God Himself speak on Mount Sinai, and we can go to the Mount of Olives to hear our Lord personally there. When the heard things are not mixed with faith, and faith is not joined with obedience, then all the hearing is in vain. Then we walk from here, and it would have been better we would not have heard, and we would not have seen, if we are not ready to respond to it. But the word preached did not profit them. The Lord God Himself has spoken. If He would have sent an evangelist, then one could say, He didn't preach mightily enough. He was not enough joined with God. One could find many excuses. But the Lord God Himself put His people into His presence. He spoke with them, and He was with them 40 years, and then has to say, but they did not know my ways. They have heard the word, but they didn't mix it with faith. And therefore, even the word that came from the mouth of God did not profit them. And then the explanation, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. What is faith? Hebrews 11 says clearly to us what faith is in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How is it now with our faith? Is it with us like this? We wait for things that are not seen yet. A number of things which God promised that are not visible yet. And here we are told, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What do we hope for? Not for that what we would like to see, but for the promises which God has given us, being fully convinced of things not seen. In brackets it says of facts. Everything what God has said in His word is already a fact, although it is not yet visible. In the eyes of God, everything is already a fact. There are still a number of things that are still pending, not only up to the resurrection of the dead and the translation of those who live in Christ, up to the rapture and so forth, but there are some things that are still pending. But the man of God, for instance, John on the Isle of Patmos, he saw already the completion of the blood-bought multitude. He heard already the hallelujah at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he heard a voice saying, blessed and holy is he who is invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He heard the singing of the perfected saints. And we are still waiting today for the completion. John saw already the new heaven and the new earth, and we are still waiting for it today. What was it? Whether prophets or apostles, all people who were pardoned by God and who heard His word by faith, they have that what they heard. They have seen it with a spiritual eye, and they said yes to God. They inwardly said yes what God promised in His word. And so, we also understood this verse rightly. In Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Not only in our language, also in the others it says, I believe, it will rain, I believe this and that. Here to believe is something totally different. Here is the belief in God and God's word. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, a belief full of confidence, being convinced of it, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, of facts not seen yet, but he promised it. Amen. And therein the whole thing is hidden. Wherever God has given promises, there the faith can be anchored, and there is no shaking back and forth, because the anchor reaches behind the veil. And behind the veil is the Ark of the Covenant with the Word of God. So there is no shaking back and forth anymore. But let us read on in Hebrews 7. In Hebrews 7, verse 6, is the following written. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And blessed him that had the promises. You all know Hebrews 7 refers to Genesis 14 from verse 17, when the Lord, when the king of Salem came and met Abraham with bread and wine, having the Lord's Supper with him. What stands out for us here? Who was blessed? Blessed was he who had the promises. No one else. Who is blessed today? Only he who has God's promises for this time. Everything else preaches, prays, and sings around God. You may say, is this really so? You can read it. I myself must shake my shoulders. I don't feel well when I think about these things. I would prefer the opposite would be the case. Oh, how we would rejoice if all churches and denominations, and especially all those who drank the cup of blessing and who experienced God, if they would recognize what God has promised for these days and what is doing now. But if they don't do it, where is the anchor? Where is the blessing? I read again. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Amen. What did Melchizedek say to Abraham? Be blessed of the Most High God. There it was not the lesser who blessed, but the Most High blessed his prophet Abraham, the Most High, the Lord God. But because he had to take the tithes, therefore he had to come as priest, because later on the priests received the tithes. Every role which the Lord God played and takes until this day has in that connection its justification, but it must be left in the context into which it belongs. Of this Melchizedek, it is being said, he is the king of righteousness, the king of Salem, king of peace, has no father, no mother, no descent, neither beginning nor end. So it was the Lord in the spiritual body before the Word became flesh and took on the shape of a man. You can read it yourself. To us, it is still about other scriptures. Psalms 110. And we will see just now and understand why we read these scriptures. He the King, He the High Priest, has a people of kings and priests who follow Him, and to them we may belong by grace. Psalms 110, I read verse 4. Actually, one should read from the beginning. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He couldn't be it after the order of Aaron, because there was mortality. He had to be according to the order of Melchizedek to be able to be it undisturbed, unhindered, without interruption, from beginning to end. Oh, how wonderful God had these things written down. I read now verse 1 of this psalm. The Lord said unto my Lord. Also about this I read today. There our Lord asks, how can David call him a Lord if he is his son? And already the people could not answer him. He's both. He's Lord, He's King, He's Savior, He's Son, all in the context into which it belongs. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength, here Yahweh should be written, out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. On the day that God has made, to make the last round with us, we all will be willing. There will be no one who limps, no one who is lame. We will be willing in the day of thy power. And if we didn't succeed, then God would have to help us. But it is written. Somebody said recently in a telephone conversation, but Brother Frank, I most certainly will not be part of it. I said, right, you. You will be part of it. I don't like to contradict, but I always contradict the devil. We have to get used to that, to contradict the devil and to believe God. In the days of Moses, when Pharaoh said, a few can go, but the cattle remains, negotiating. With God there's no negotiating, there's only one command, let my people go. Finish. And then Moses said, not one hoof will be left behind. Everything what belongs to it goes with. Thanks be to our God. Oh yes, sometimes we feel miserable. But right, this proves to us how great the grace of God is in our lives. If somebody would lift up his nose, then he would hardly have a chance unless he would humble himself under the mighty hand of God and resist the devil, and so he could let God place him. So, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. I believe this with all my heart. Let us go now to the letter of Peter and read what Peter said here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. maybe even from verse 7, the words are so precious. One should read much more. 1 Peter 2 from verse 7. Unto you therefore, who believe, you see what's all about? A being sure, being convinced of the things which God promised, as if they already existed. A being convinced of divine facts. Many times we said it here. People we cannot believe. We can hardly believe ourselves or trust ourselves. But God we can believe, and in God we can trust. Unto you, therefore, who believe, he is precious. Remember, Abraham was blessed because he had the divine promises. God spoke to him. God has given him promises. He believed them. He believed God. And this was counted unto him for righteousness. What is counted for your and my righteousness? If you believe God, if you believe that what he said is true, and that you count with it, that it happens as he said it, that nothing can change on it, and that nothing will stop it. It has to be fulfilled, because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Unto you, therefore, who believe, do we all believe? Faith, being convinced, not that you are now convinced of yourself. No, being convinced that God is faithful, that he keeps his word. As it is written, the scripture cannot be broken. It will not be broken. It is kept and fulfilled. But unto them who believe not, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the chief cornerstone. And by it a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Did you notice? Faith and obedience belong together. Unbelief and disobedience is also a couple. And people who have unbelief in them cannot be obedient. There is no connection there. Just the contrary. There is an inner rebellion. Separation is there. Faith joins us with God. Unbelief separates us from God. Unbelief and disobedience belong together, faith and obedience also. And here, people stumble, being disobedient to the word. How many would like and cannot, at least it looks like it, God alone be the judge. God gives both. To be willing and doing. Whoever stumbles today, he stumbles being disobedient to the word. I've said it here recently. What concerns the ministry of Brother Branham, then all appreciate him, whoever were in one meeting, and there are millions of them, appreciating him as the greatest man of God. Since the days of the Bible, nobody has a problem with that. There's not one of all the evangelists, of all the international preachers, who would not take off their hat, whether they say it or think it. In any case, the general opinion is that here was a man amongst us who was unique, whose life was a whole sermon. When he spoke of humility, then he was it in person. When he spoke of love, then he had it. The things which he preached, he had them He lifted them out, and even his enemies testify of it, and this means much. But tell these friends, who speak in great enthusiasm, how God could use this humble man. But there, scripture was fulfilled. Then, the whole thing is totally different. In the moment when they are to be taken into a liability, when the matter is shown to them as a foundation, they step out of line. They want to admit, and they do it also, that God has done great things. But that it is here about the fulfillment of Scripture, about prophecy that was fulfilled in our midst, this they cannot swallow. With us, it is just the opposite. Not if somebody raises the dead, or the blind see, or the lame walk. We would thank God if it would happen. We would thank the Lord for it. May it happen very soon. But if the word would not be preached, and would not the promises of God be given to the church for this time, what good would it be if the dead would be raised, when those who are alive would remain in spiritual death? Everything placed on that place into which it belongs. In our days, God has and will continue to make history in the plan of salvation. And nothing overwhelms me so much as that I can find the traces of the divine promises in the Word and then observe and understand their fulfillment. This is the overwhelming proof, not a man who interprets, but people to whom God has given grace to recognize what He does according to His Word in this time. And this grace was given to us. Not that we looked for it. It has fallen into our lap. According to the scripture, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Unto you, therefore, who believe, He is precious. The faith has access to God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to understand His Word. You can, in Hebrews 11, in this unique faith chapter, you can read there, time and again, it was faith. Faith in the hearts and in the lives of these people who had such a faith. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 2, having such a faith, what faith? As it's described in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Of things hoped for, rightfully hoped for, being fully convinced of things, of facts not seen. There is the word, He looked on Him, the invisible one, as He would see Him. And Abraham didn't look on the deadness of his body, but on the living God, who has given him the promise. For by having such faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Who understands this by faith? Very clear. The spoken Word. God spoke, and it happened. He commanded, and it stood fast. You can go through the Old and New Testament. The same God acted in the same way. Who understands it? The scientists look for their explanations, and those who preach but cannot believe, they are at odds. But then there are such who just cannot do otherwise but to believe with all their heart, and to them we may belong. Through faith we understand that the world was spoken into existence by the word of God. Through which faith? By believing what is written in Genesis, God spoke and it was so. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Do you believe it? I believe it. I believe it 100%. There were many critics until this day, and all have put up certain theses how it could have been, of the Big Bang, and so forth. But there was not one until today who would have said, "I know," or "it was me." There was and is only one who is known as the creator of the heaven and earth, and no one else. Through faith, we have the access to God, to His word, to His doings, whether creation or redemption. Whoever does not believe the one nor the other. He who believes, believes everything. He believes everything from A to Z, without effort, because faith is a gift from God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Out from nothing, God spoke everything into existence. There was nothing. If something would have been there, then. But there was nothing. Also this I will read to you, so that you know that it is written. It should be either here in Hebrews 1, Hebrews 1, maybe verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding the universe by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Who is it? One and the same, who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. With a difference, in the Old Testament, in the spiritual body, in the New Testament, becoming man, in the body of flesh. I read verse 4 in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Again, faith. What was it? Faith equals revelation. Revelation of the word and of the will of God. When a person says, "I believe," and speaks even of revelation, but his revelation is outside of the limits of the word of God, then you can forget it. Revelation that comes from God comes by the Spirit, and the Spirit leads to the word and reveals the will of God through the word of God. And here, to Abel, when not one word of God was written, it was revealed to him what should be done. And he offered a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. And he obtained witness that he was righteous, justified before the living God. It says here, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Even today there are people even today who understand what revelation and what faith is. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God in a shape of a man. Not an idea, but as the scripture says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. not around the Word, but the Word took shape. That's how it is with every revelation which comes from God, with all faith that is anchored in God and His Word. Not a pious explanation, but a divine substance. Also for this, we can be grateful that the Lord has kept us in His Word. Even more, His Word, in the course of time, it has become more precious unto us. Wherever we might read, God speaks through His Word, even today to us. He addresses us. It is alive. It continues here. By faith, Enoch, all these men of God, had faith. In closing, let us come back to that, what we actually wanted to set forth tonight. A royal kindred, a holy priesthood, which the Lord, as the King of Kings, as the High Priest, who offered Himself as the Lamb of God. Also this, nobody can explain how we can be both at the same time, sacrificial Lamb and High Priest, Mediator and Advocate. He can be all, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, everything where it belongs. Here, we read again in 1 Peter chapter 2, but ye are a chosen generation. At that time it was Israel, chosen from all peoples, tongues and nations. God made a covenant with His people. He bare them on eagle's wings and brought them into His presence to then speak with them. No other people has experienced God as the people of Israel. And here we are told, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. What shall we now say? God has brought us into His presence. It is Him who speaks with us. We have read last Sunday the word from 1 Samuel 3. There the Lord called the young Samuel, and Samuel called Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And Eli said, I didn't call you, lay down again. And again the Lord calls, and Samuel goes to Eli and says, here I am, you called me. And he is astonished. His eyesight was already not good anymore. And he said, go back to sleep. I didn't call you. And you all know what happened then. Then Eli understood that it was the Lord who calls this young Samuel. And he says to him, should the voice speak again, then say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. What was it? Many times the people don't understand that it is the Lord who speaks with us. They go here, they go there, ask there, and then one is calmed down. Just calm down. Everything is all right. It's not all right. It is only all right when the matter has been put right with God. And this is then when we agree with God. And only then, after He has spoken with us, Samuel went back to sleep in the house of God, close to the Ark of the Covenant. We can be believers. We can be very close to the Word, very close. And yet, having not understood that the hour is here to awaken from sleep, that our salvation is now nearer than many years ago when we became believers, and when we heard of all the things which we know today and which we heard during the years and of which we have become certain. May it really touch our hearts. The Lord had a people in the Old Testament. He said, you are unto me a royal priesthood. A peculiar treasure shall you be unto me From all the nations I have chosen you. I made a covenant with you. Ye are my people. I brought you into my presence. You are now here before me. You hear my words. In the New Testament, exactly the same. A church, a peculiar treasure from all peoples, tongues and nations. A holy covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood. There is a blood-bought multitude. And this blood-bought multitude makes up the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, the holy nation. Back then, it was Israel. Today, it's us. How is it with us, with the Lord, with everything what belongs to the kingdom of God? Ye are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You, who in the times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. What shall we say to it? Thanking the Lord, who has done great things on us, who has chosen us, without asking us. He ordained us to be something for the praise of His glory. Let us believe it, as we heard it, being fully convinced that every word of God that we hear does not bypass us, but that it penetrates us deeply, that we become one with the Word, that the Word can become flesh, becoming reality in us and through us. Previously, not a people, but now the people of God. Not only a people, but the people of God. Formerly not obtained mercy, but now having obtained mercy. Also for this, we can thank the Lord. Just one more emphasis on the part of this verse. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Our Lord says, He who follows me shall not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. He could say, I am the light of the world. John said, I am sent to bear witness of the light. He who follows Him will also in this time not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. Do you all believe it? By following Jesus, all this is included. It belongs to it. Just imagine, He who is the Word that has become flesh, and someone would really follow Him, and then he would stray. This is impossible. Without Him, we stray. But with Him, we have found home. And we may walk on His ways. He Himself said it. He who follows me will not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. Whatever it might be, God will give you the answer. He will give you clarity. It is impossible to follow the Lord and then to remain in uncertainty or in darkness. He who follows Him will not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. May it light up very brightly, so that we all see it and walk in this light until we come from believing unto seeing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up and worship. Perhaps we sing the chorus, "Just as I am." We bow our heads, close our eyes, open the hearts. Maybe some are here who have a special request upon their heart. God knows it. It is known to Him. If from the sermon came faith, and if we can accept for us what God promised, being convinced that it's here already, even though we don't see it yet, should some have a request upon their heart, then please raise your hand. God knows it. He knows everything. God sees the hands. God sees the hearts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts, we thank you for your precious and holy word. Lord, we can nothing for it that you destined us to believe by election before the foundation of the world, with a holy call. You have called us to follow you, O Lord. You made the covenant with us and revealed unto us the promises which apply to this time, O Lord. Now we are here in perfect faith toward you, not toward us, but toward you, that you will bring everything to pass in a wonderful way unto the day of your glorious return. Beloved Lord, you know the various requests, the petitions, whatever it might be, sickness, afflictions, you know every one of us, O Lord. We pray now together. May you be nigh to everyone who are nigh to us, O Lord. May you go after them who are upon our hearts, O God. Give us grace to keep up with you and to walk worthy of this high and divine calling. For we are a holy people, and you say, "I am holy, and ye shall be holy." You said, "I sanctify myself for them, so that they are also sanctified of a truth." Thy word is the truth. Beloved Lord, give us grace to always believe your word with full conviction in obedience, so that you also could confirm it. Bless us all, O Lord. Save the lost. Heal the sick. Deliver the captives. Confirm your word and glorify thy holy name, O Lord, and continue to lead us. Take us by your hand. Do it according to thy word, by your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you have until this very day a New Testament church, a church which comes back to the beginning, that believes as the scripture says, not an organization, but a living organism, independent from all human systems, depending on you. O faithful God, may you place us on higher ground. May also this hour have served for it, that we would have become closer to you. Take away our clumsiness, our diffidence, our inactivity. Take away everything from us. Make us fiery in the spirit, ready to serve you. You are the one who called us. We don't go to people anymore. We come to you and say, Lord, speak, for your people hears. Thank you that we were brought into your presence to hear your word from your holy mouth. For this, we thank you with all our hearts. Bless us all now from the riches of your grace. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.